8 p.m. Awake, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. Mission for Christ proudly presents to you Old Fashioned Revival Hour on Spirit 88.3 with Brother Jerry. Now and every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Awake, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life.
Get those 10 string instruments together. Get your praise on.
Everybody say, bless the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Sing unto the King of Israel. Bless the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Sing unto the King of Israel.
Yeah.
It's almost 5 minutes past seven, and this is the program Old Fashioned Revival Hour. If you're listening to my voice tonight, this is the program dubbed Old Fashioned Revival Hour, and my name is Brother Jerry. I welcome you tonight to this wonderful program, and I know that you already prepared your mind, your heart, even to listen to the word, the message which the Lord is bringing to you. And I know that tonight, this evening, somebody is getting blessed in the name of Jesus. I would want to take this particular moment to extend my greetings to you who is there listening to my voice, to mine committed listeners who have been with this program from the very beginning, praying, admonishing, encouraging. Your messages indeed are greatly cherished, and I pray the blessing of the Lord upon your life, the grace and the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ upon your life. Also to Professor and Mrs. Jackson, the sponsors of this program, for their benevolent works in the name of the Lord. For of course, whoever gives to the a cup of water to a disciple, the Lord said that he shall by no means miss his reward. Whatever cup that is measured unto the servant of the Lord, the same shall be measured upon the giver. And so I know that surely the Lord would bless and continually extend their territory. And also to you, my dear listener, I know that God will by no means pass by you, even as he blesses his people. I would take this moment in time to tell you to call a friend, a family member, that you would avail yourself of the Lord to use you to touch someone tonight, even through this medium. But I know that as you avail yourself to call someone, and if by the grace and the working of the Holy Spirit, the person is being transformed, touched through this media, I know that you will be blessed for your availability. And so call a friend, call your family to tune in to Spirit 88.3 as the word of the Lord comes to you from this platform. And as you are set, you are ready for the word, I just want you to keep that momentum. I would be right back after this advert with the word of God. Stay tuned. Mission for Christ.
Jackson College of Education and National Accreditation Board at Giatum Prakupeno. Eneyane University of Education, Uniba, Akayen Tumapa Aboma. Yadi 3 years diploma in basic education everywhere. Na any just seminar say, we are distance learning. Kairuni say, general programs in Naya BLO. Naya kwako for early childhood education, Abba. Yadi amount for the donor F-Fram Titimo Amomo and Hussein Yesitra and Mofra Adia. Naya the French education, so Abba. Well, person who see French cash and so na queen. The Uhiani Wasi, SSC, TVET, credit passes, Ewo, 3 core subjects, English language, and mathematics, Ekaho, and 2 elective subjects. Yeah, when you're 25 years, Adeko, more person, 2 and 1 months, Fianson, the Hianso Baba forms, more better entrance examination, Nibi. So, all performs in Nibiatra, for any Atsam Yamia Hood Edition, ADB, Ghana Commercial Bank, Eco Bank, HFC Bank, Sinapia Bus Savings and Loans, and offers on the Jackson College of Education Learning Centers, Ahudwa, and what Mammy Henina. And I say, for any time, head office, our 4th Jackson Street, IADS Newside, Kumasi, Bank University. Open to the man who do be afraid, our 0540-104949. And I say, 0266-89-9495. Akwenye nani, sobe kwa kofao forms, na wabaka Jackson Educational Complex, mwenda dati mapa.
Yeah, we are right back. And, I would want you to bow down your head as we begin the program tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. I bless your name, who has given us the strength and the power to be on our feet today for the renewing of our spirit, the inner man, and for the wisdom and knowledge which you have given to me, even in the teaching of your word. But I pray, O Lord, that tonight Christ Jesus will be magnified through this platform, that Jesus will be glorified through the word, and I pray that you would move me to speak your word, and that by your word your people will be sanctified. It is, Lord, my prayer tonight that you will sanctify us by your word, for thy word is truth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and oh God, let the weapons of the enemy be nullified in the name of Jesus in every area of the life of the listeners. I pray that every agenda, every sinister scheme of the adversary would be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war, barrier, stagnation, barrenness in the name of Jesus be neutralized, and let there be showers of blessing upon the life of your people as they heed thy word by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen. Last week we dealt with a particular topic, and the topic was eternal security, which is part of the series I am currently dealing with, Barriers to Redemptive Blessing. Last week I ended by introducing the topic Satan's Territory. And that is what we are dealing with today by the grace of God. I remember that last week, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we got to know the three phases of salvation using the typology of Noah, even to defend the reason why the Christian has to keep himself, remain in Christ, abide in Christ, if he should ever have the mastery or the victory over the wicked one or the devil, that there is the need for the Christian to remain in Christ Jesus. Just as Noah and his family remained in the ark, and by reason of that, they were, if I should say, delivered from that present judgment, the flood that the Lord brought upon the world. And so, as it was with Noah, so it is with believers, Christians today. We must remain in Christ. And in remaining in Christ, we must be cautious, be warned. We must take heed, be vigilant, not to trespass into the enemy's territory or Satan's territory. And so today our main topic is going to deal with Satan's territory, as the Lord enables me. And so let's look again at the scripture, which has been the foundation for our discourse in this past week. If I should say from last week, I want us to look again at the scripture tonight once again. 1 John chapter 5 verse 18. That we know that whatsoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So clearly this scripture reveals an undeniable truth, that there is a place in the life of the Christian where the wicked one or the devil cannot touch him. And the devil cannot touch him because of what John the Apostle said. As a matter of fact, he preceded the keeping of himself, as in the Christian keeping of himself, he preceded with the new birth. And so he started by saying that whoever is born of God, then he continued to speak of the keeping of ourselves. Now what the apostle is trying to convey to us by the Holy Spirit is that no one can keep himself, no one can remain in Christ, no one can be able to separate himself from the enemy's territory, except, of course, he is born of God, except he has that nature that is of God, except he has the seed of God, the very image of Christ, the very nature of Christ indwelling him. So that is what the apostle wants to convey to us, that one must first be born of God from above before he can keep himself from the enemy's territory, which we are going to deal with tonight. But before I proceed, I want you, beloved, to understand that, you see, the primary work of Jesus Christ on earth, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 and 8, was to take away sins and to destroy the works of the devil. Now, this is what Jesus does today when he comes into the life of a repentant sinner. He takes away, first of all, every sin in the life of that sinner, and he destroys the power of Satan and his demons. And so in a simple phrase, we say that such a person is born again, for he is no longer under the power of sin, and he is no longer under the power of Satan and his devils. Why? Because of the presence or the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his life. So only when one is reborn of God that he can keep himself from Satan's territory. And so now we proceed to the main topic. What is, of course, Satan's territory? Now let us look at 1 John chapter 5. Verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 21. Verse 19 says that we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now verse 19, according to King James Version, says that the whole world lies in wickedness. But the New King James Version throws more light on it and says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The sway means that the whole world lies under the controlling influence of the devil. Then he proceeds to verse 21 and says, little children, as a father in the faith to the Christian generations, he says to us and to all, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And he ends by saying, Amen. Now, what we see in these two verses, according to 1 John chapter 5, 19:21, is that we have the word and idols coming together. A parallel to this is also in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, where John speaks of the word and its lust. He says that do not love the word or the things in the word. Now what are the things that John is speaking of? He's speaking of the same idols or lust. Lust is an unbridled passion or an uncontrollable desire. An idol is something which is desired above the true God. And so he uses idols in 1 John chapter 5 And he uses last in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. But in a sense, he's trying to create a picture. And this is what we would understand later in the Word of God. So what the apostle is clearly showing us by the Holy Spirit, who cannot lie, is that the Word is decorated with variety of things or idols, which are from the wicked one or from Satan. And when John speaks of the Word, I want you to understand that he is not speaking of the cosmic or what we call the universe per se. John is not speaking of the universe. I speak of the heavens and the galaxy, the constellation, and the earth, the trees, the river. He's not speaking of the tangible things that we are seeing around us. I am talking about the whole creation and the universe. But John seemed to go a little further than just the universe that we see. And what the Holy Spirit through him is trying to reveal here is that, you see, the Word that we see is not just as it is. He speaks of the unsaved masses, or theologically we refer to them as reprobates, people who are not saved, the masses, the inhabitants of the world, who are alienated from the life of God and are enemies of Christ Jesus. When the picture, the Word, of course, comes into the mind of the apostle, that is what he sees by the Spirit. He does not see just the mere universe, but he sees the masses of the unsaved, or the unsaved generation, the reprobates, or the depraved men and women who are upon the earth and who are alienated from God and are enemies of Christ Jesus. He speaks of the corruption in this world and the things that appeals to the eyes and the flesh, which is by the carefully planned strategy and power of the devil. And so this is what makes the Word Satan's territory, because we have a revelation here in the Word of God, which is saying that the whole world that we see lies under the sway, the controlling influence of Satan. And so things do not happen just as it is. The corruption that we see, the wickedness that abound, is by the move or by the influence, the control of an invisible force, an invisible adversary who is in the person of Satan. And it is this being who infiltrates the world with all the corruption that we are seeing. And so I remember that once, some time ago, someone asked me a question. So why don't God kill the Christian the very moment that he believes in Christ Jesus, so that he cuts short his life and then receive his spirit in heaven? It would have been easier that way. You see, but if God should do that, he would, let me say that he would go against his purpose for believers or Christians. Because, one, we are the light of the world. And the reason why, by the gracious work of God, he saves us, is that we should be a light to those who are in darkness. That we should be the salt of the world. In other words, our lives should draw men to Christ, as is the light. We are light to those who have not yet received Christ. And so when we are saved, we are not saved to sleep. You see, salvation is not selfishness. And I always say that the one who has been saved by grace cannot hide Christ Jesus. He cannot contain the gospel within himself. You see, it is an overflow of love, an overflow of enthusiasm, zeal, to want the world to know the Jesus whom you have known. And so the reason why God keeps us in this word, the reason why God maintains us in the world which is full of sin and corruption, is that we, through the Spirit of God, will draw men to Christ Jesus through the preaching of the gospel and the demonstration of the very life and the very nature of our Lord Jesus Christ to them that are lost, to them who are enslaved by the devil. And so when we go to John chapter 17, verse 14 through to 17, now you get why Jesus prayed for the disciples that way. He did not pray that God would take us out of the world. In other words, the Lord God should cut short our life, and so it would be easier for us to go to heaven. But look at the way he prayed for the disciples. In John chapter 17, verse 14 through to 17, he says that, "I have given them your word." Jesus is praying to the Father. "And the world has hated them because they are not of the world." Notice the underlying word. The Christian or the disciples, we are not of the world. And so by reason of that, the world hates us. Satan's territory, they hate us. The kingdom of this world, who are the masses, the unsaved masses, the reprobates, the depraved, who are not born again. They hate us. And so he prayed and say, he says that the word has hated them because they are not of the word, just as I am not of the word. Now I do not pray, notice this, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the word, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And so you see, he says that God the Father should keep the Christian, is praying for divine protection, preservation, that the Father will lead us, but not into temptation, not into the hand of the wicked one. That the Father would protect us, would keep us from the evil one, from Satan's territory. Then he continues by saying, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Verse 17 says that, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And so the Lord Jesus says that, sanctify, make them more like me. Set them apart. You see, by the Holy Spirit, cause them to grow in the knowledge of the word, which is the truth. For we have the word which says that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. When a man is sanctified by the word of God, his nature is of course renewed. He says that he is like a man who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and then he keeps what is written therein. And so by reason of his obedience to the word of God, he says that he is blessed in all that he does. And that scripture does not only speak of physical blessing, but it speaks of all spiritual blessing that we can ever think of, which our Lord has installed for us. And so he says that, sanctify them by your word. And that is the only, I would say, I always say that that is the only hope, strength, power that we have, the word of God, to be sanctified by God's word, to be set apart from this polluted world by the word of God. The word of God is the only light that we have today. The psalm says that it is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path. And so Jesus prayed that the Father would not take us out of the word, but that he would sanctify us by his word, and that he would keep us from the evil one. See, beloved, what I see today is that there is a very great cloud of darkness hanging over all the nations, covering the whole world. This darkness signifies the influence of Satan over the masses who are not saved. The only place that this darkness cannot penetrate is the invisible church. The last week I mentioned of the body of Christ, who is represented by the masses who are in Christ Jesus, who by reason of revelation have believed that Christ identified with them through his death, that they might identify with him through his resurrection, and have been translated into the kingdom of light. So to understand it, the only place that this darkness, the influence of the devil, cannot penetrate is the church. Jesus said to Peter, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it. He was speaking of all the host of darkness against the invisible church. The body of Christ cannot prevail. Why? Because the church is the only light that overcometh darkness or the world. Now, Paul would say by revelation, Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, he speaks of the transition of the sinner from the very point that he believes in Christ by faith. And he says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, I give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now I so love how he ended in this particular verse. He says that this inheritance, which is reserved for us, the saints in heaven, is in the light. And this inheritance speaks of our current place in Christ Jesus. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12, he speaks of the present tense. We have not come to Mount Sinai, but rather to Mount Zion. And when you look at that particular statement in Hebrews chapter 12, following after 22, you come to understand why he uses present tense. He does not say that we will come to Mount Zion, but presently he says that we have come to Mount Zion. That is our current transition. From the very point that we believe in Christ, the Lord Jesus was manifested to us. He was revealed to us. And by reason of his redemptive work, we confessed, we repented, and we accepted his finished work. At that particular time, we are suddenly translated, a change in location from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of darkness, to the kingdom of Christ Jesus. And that is the kingdom of light. And so that is what Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 is saying, that we who have believed in Christ have been translated from the power of darkness, in other words, from Satan's territory, and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, speaking of Christ Jesus, the Messiah. And it is also for you to understand why we are not in the word, that is, in the spiritual sense. Jesus said that they are not of the word. That is what it means. We are no longer of the word. We no longer belong to the word, belong to the rules, the maxim. I will come to that. That would be our final thing that we will treat. We no longer belong to that polluted, corrupt word by reason of our translation into the kingdom of God, to Mount Zion, to that place of holiness. We continue on. And we proceed from there. So, as we have seen, we have a picture of two invisible kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness, which is the world, the corrupt world. and the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God. Now, you can only belong to one of these kingdoms or one of these territories. And where you are will determine who you serve. Where you are will determine who you serve. And so if you belong to the kingdom of the world, if you are not saved, if you have not believed in the Messiah, in Christ Jesus, by the revelation of the Spirit of God, and you are still under the dominion of sin, under the power and the influence of Satan, what it means is that you belong to the word. And I pray that it will not be so in your case. And that if it be that what I am speaking, even as you are listening to this program, is as it is, then I would always say that remember that there are more rooms at the cross of Calvary. The Lord would always present to you life and death. But he has put in you the free will. If you would believe in Christ Jesus, it will be unto eternal life. If you would at this point repent of all your sinful deeds, and if you would acknowledge your sins before the great and the mighty God, for he that covets, hides his sin, shall not obtain mercy. But he that confesseth and forsakes, it is he who shall obtain mercy from the Lord, and it is he who shall be saved. So the decision is yours for the making. Many times you would hear people say that the world is getting worse off, and that the country is full of violence and wickedness is abounding. And many times they will say, so what is the government doing about this? So whenever I hear this, I just within my heart somewhat become sad, because you see, many people are so blind that they don't really know what we are dealing with. The truth is, what we are dealing with is not in the hand of government. And I will defend my stance with this. What we are dealing with is with invisible army. What we are dealing with is with satanic powers. We are not dealing with flesh and blood. The problem in the world today, the problem in our society today, the corruption, the wickedness, the violence, is not in the word, the hand of the government. You see, government can only put down certain temporal measures to curb these things, but it is only temporal. But a permanent solution is not in the hand of the government. The permanent solution is in the hand of the Most High God. And secondly, it is in the hand of the people in the world, on the society. Because light has come, but many are they who love the works and the deeds of darkness. So that even though that the light has come, many are still hovering in the dark. Many are still groping in the dark. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The reason why I am saying that what we are dealing with is not in the hand of government, but against invisible forces. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1-2. It says, "And you he made alive." Now this is Apostle Paul speaking, writing to the church of Ephesus. But I want you to understand that the letter is not just to the Ephesians, but it is to all believers. And he started by speaking of the new birth, their identification with the resurrection of Christ. So he says that, and you he made alive who were dead in sins, in trespasses and sins. Verse 2 says that, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. There is an invisible power which is influencing the masses who are unsaved. They are called the children of disobedience or rebelliousness. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says that, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly. Now notice that Paul uses different terms to convey the same idea, that we are fighting a whole army in a dark kingdom, which is headed by Satan. And it seems to reveal to us that they operate from a place called the heavenly. Now, I want you to understand that according to the scriptures, we have the three kinds of heavenlies. We have the first heavenly, the second heavenly, the third heavenly. And each of them is very important for you to understand. The first is what we call the clouds, the atmosphere, the skies. That is the first heavenly. The second heavenly, according to this particular scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, speaks of the abode of invisible forces, angels of darkness, where it seemed to me that the demons and all these invisible forces of darkness that they inhabit somewhere above the clouds, but it is invisible. It cannot be seen with the physical eyes. And we have the third heaven, which is the place of God. Paul would speak of the third heaven when he was speaking of the revelation that he had in the third heaven, by which he could not speak certain things because they were very secretive and it was not allowed him to speak or to tell what he saw, even in that third heaven. And so by reason of this, we know that we have the second heavenly, where I believe in Ephesians 6:12 is the abode of the invisible forces who influence the world by their powers. And these are the armies that we are warring against. The Christian is warring against. The believers are warring against, not flesh and blood, but against these forces. And I want you to understand that these forces are the forces behind what is happening in our world today. And the second thing that I want you also to understand is that Satan and his enemies have two main agenda to accomplish on earth. Now listen to me carefully. Satan and his enemies, his forces, they have two main agenda which they seek to fulfill on earth or in the world, or if I may say, which they are fulfilling in the world. The first is that they want to turn the world against God, to rebel against God. And two, they want to turn the hearts of the people to worship Satan. So the agents or the forces of the devil have these two main purposes to achieve on earth in the world. One, to cause people to rebel against God and against our Lord Jesus Christ and his commandments. And two, to turn the world to worship him who is the devil. Now, when we go to the scriptures, we know in Isaiah chapter 14, when it reveals the person of Lucifer. And according to Isaiah chapter 14, as we read, Lucifer was first the name of Satan. And so when God created Satan, his name was not Satan as we call him. His name was Lucifer. And the word Lucifer means that he was the son of the morning. In other words, it describes his brightness when God created him. He was of the order of the archangel. According to that particular verse, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 upwards. But you see, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 reveals the reason, the two main agenda of the devil when he allowed sin to enter into his heart. He wanted, one, to rebel against God, and two, to claim worship. He wanted to be like God. He says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, that he says that for you have said, verse 13 says that for you have said in your heart, I would ascend into the heaven, I would exalt my throne above the stars of God. I would also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. 14 says that I would ascend above the heights of the clouds. I would be like the Most High. Now, this is what Satan said in his heart. Let me use the Lucifer, the archangel. He said in his heart, I would be like the Most High. And verse 15 says that, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. So this, in part, we have a revelation of how Satan fell. One, he wanted to rebel against God. Two, he wanted to what? Claim worship, to be like the Most High God. And that was what brought him to the earth. And this is what Satan is seeking to accomplish today with his forces or his angelic host, the fallen angels and the demons. That is what they seek to achieve on in the world and what they are presently operating or achieving today, as in the life of those who are not born again. And so you see why all these atrocities are happening today. It is because of the devil who is on earth and because of what he seeks to achieve as the God of the world. As the God of the world. Many a times people ask the question, why is Satan called the God of the world? Because when you read the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3-4 says that, but even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. And he's speaking of Satan as the God of this world. And many a times people ask this question, why is Satan the God of the world? And it is because Adam lost his right to Satan when he ate of the forbidden tree. So instead of Adam being the God of the world, because God gave him the dominion over all that he has created, because he disobeyed God by eating the fruit, Satan became the God. There was a divine, a legal transaction. And so Adam became a slave to sin of Satan. And Satan, in turn, became the God of the present world, the world that we are in today. And because he is the God of the world, what that he seeks to do of the two things that I mentioned, and if he happens to achieve the two things that I am mentioning, even in the life of the Christian, it would be that he would be able to turn the Christian from the highway of heaven and then lead him astray. Now, what I want to basically deal with now, this present, which is very important, having known what Satan's territory is, which is the present world in which we are, having known his influence through these demons and these rulers of darkness, these spiritual host in the heavenly, having understood all these things, I want you to understand the areas which makes the world Satan's territory. There are three main maxims. I call them maxims because they are rules in satanic kingdom. It's like, if you are in the world, you must go through these things. And whoever decide not to go through these three maxims becomes an enemy to the devil. It becomes a target to the devil. And that is where persecution and slander and all these things proceed. And that is the area where the Christian would know persecution. And I call it the three maxim of Satan's territory. The first maxim in other is another word for rule of conduct. It's like a rule everyone must obey. The first maxim that I would speak of is the decree. Is the decree. Or in other words, laws. Now, biblically, we have historical records that most governments that reveals that most governments are agents of Satan. I do not say that all governments, but most governments end up becoming agents of the devil in accomplishing the two main purposes: to turn people against God and to claim worship to the God of the world. And these two purposes have mostly been achieved through governments, the systems of this world, through their decrees or through their laws. And we have a historical account of this in the book of Daniel chapter 3, where King Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of gold and commanded all and sundry to bow down to it. Failure to do so was to be cast into the burning fiery furnace, of which the three Hebrew men, remember Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, is a picture of faithful Christians in the last days, of which these three Hebrew men, with their undefeatable faith, refused to do. Now, I want you to understand, beloved, that I am not saying that Christians are to rebel against the government, because that is not Christianity. But what I am saying is that Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Where their decrees defies our God, where it becomes a tyranny. Sorry, if let me use this word, where it becomes an enemy against the commandments of Christ Jesus. That is where we must defend our faith. So understand what I am saying. I am not saying that all governments are under the influence of Satan, but most of them are under the influence. And I do not say that we should rebel, because that is not Christianity. But when the decree or the law poses a threat to our faith, becomes an enmity to God, that is where we must defend our faith. That is where we must buy the truth and sell it not. One such decree today is what is termed self-government. Now, the word call it human rights. Don't misunderstand me. There are agencies advocating for the welfare of others with a clear conscience. I am not speaking of these, but what I am speaking of is what I call self-government, the right to be your own God. Now, most of the word government, the systems, if you would listen to the news, they are promoting these decrees, which permits people to be their own gods. And so, for instance, you would hear in the news in some way around the world that it is not a sin. It is the right of the people to engage in same sex. A man marrying another man, a woman marrying another woman. We hear in the news that they said that it is the right of the people to alter your your sex. I speak of gender. So we have something called the transgender, where a man would undergo surgery to look like a woman, and a woman will undergo surgery to look like a man. That is what we call transgender. And this, I want you to understand that these are decrees of governments that poses a threat. It is an enmity to God, because God has not permitted this in his word. When you go to Romans chapter 9, verse 20, the Lord God would speak specifically about the issue of transgender. Romans chapter 9, verse 20, says in the word of God, he says that, "But indeed, O man, who are you to say to him who formed you?" In other words, the God who created you. "Why have you made me like this?" So who are you to question how God created you, that you should alter your sex, your gender? A man undergoing surgery to look like a woman, and vice versa. And the same is the issue of same-sex marriages. The same is the issue of abortion. You see, these things that the government permits, but these are decrees that are against the law of God and the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, today the word called fornication, they have whitewashed it and they have given it a nice name. So instead of fornication, they call it recreational dating. And so they have polished it, you see, to make people accept it as something that is okay. You see, that is the decrees of the word against the word of God. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says that at the end of the days, people shall become lovers of themselves. Speaking of the end times, they will become lovers of themselves. In other words, they would self-idolize themselves. They would see themselves as their own gods, lovers of themselves, instead of being lovers of God. And that is what the Satan wants to achieve through the government and the system of the world, to rebel against God and to claim worship to the God of the world, which is the devil. So we see the maxim, the first maxim, which is through decrees and the laws of government, promoting rebellion, promoting all sort of things that are against the word of God. But the Lord be praised for the church. For whenever the church had prayed, the plans of Satan had been destroyed and government have changed their harmful decisions. And I believe that this is why we are admonished to pray for the government and those in authority, for our peace and quietness of life in all godliness and reverence. You must pray for the government. Ghana must pray for the government. It is not only in Ghana, but around the world. Satan is seeking to achieve these things, two purposes, through the government and the systems. And that is why we are admonished, according to 1 Timothy 2, chapter 1, verse 2, remember that we must pray for the government, the kings, and those in authority. See, we have, we remember the historical account of the church, the early church, when they were persecuted by Herod. The church rose up to pray. And what did we see? Herod died. Why? Because he became an agent of the devil. So the angels strike him, and he died thereon, so that the people were now able to live in peace. And that is what the Apostle Paul admonishes through the word, that whenever the church will rise and pray for the church, the nation, the government, those in authority, God comes down and destroys the power of Satan and brings people to Christ Jesus. Now, the second maxim is vanities. So we have one, the decrees through governments, the systems, and we have two, vanities. Now, vanities is interpreted worthless goods, worthless things. You see, it looks so nice to the physical eyes, but it is temporal. It is nothing. It is emptiness in the end. And under vanities, we have the lust of the eyes, and we have the lust of the flesh. Now, I want you to understand that the enemy attacks the mind through the eyes and the flesh. Keep this in mind. Next week, God willing, we would speak of the second maxim, which is vanities. Mainly the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. And so last week would be the end of the barriers to the redemptive. Then the following one would be the remedy. And so as I end my message, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the word of illumination, the word of understanding, the word of knowledge through your word. I thank you that by the word you have sanctified us and that you have glorified the name of Jesus. And I pray that in every area of the life of your people where the enemy is dominating, grant victory tonight. Let the enemy be crushed underneath their feet. Magnify the Lord greatly in their lives and let their joy overflow. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And so, beloved, God bless you so much for making time. Next week, we will look at the second maxim, which is vanities, and you would know and understand many things in this word, which certain people have accepted as normal and which is very deadly to the soul. So the Lord be with you, same time next week from the hour of 7 to 8. And if you those who want to reach me, you can call on the line 0558-345-267. 0558-345-267. 0558-345-267. The peace of the Lord be with you. Same time next week, 7-8. Bye-bye.
Glory! Glory! Glory!